provider for trout, which does open it up so ODFW and other smaller trout producers will be able to bid on the task orders as they come out. That's my understanding as to how it operates, but I'll get more details on that. I believe you guys have responded to a request for information.
Yep, we did.
And I haven't heard the final reviews of that yet, though. I don't think there'll be any issues there. But so just so you know, the schedule is looking that by mid-September, we will have that contract in place.
So the RFPs will go out when for that?
Right now, we have kept our contracting staff pretty busy trying to get John Day mitigation contracts in place. So this one, Coal Rivers and Trout will probably not be until closer to April. That'd be my guess, because we have three for John Day mitigation that need to be done before the end of June right now.
So they go out in April. What's the process? Remind me of it.
So the request for proposals go out, and it's 30 days?
About, yeah.
30 days, and then they're evaluated. And then I haven't actually worked on Maytalk, so Chris would know better the process.
Yeah, it's similar to a kind of what you normally do with the contract, but it's a multiple award where it goes out for solicitation. There's a time period for proposals to come in, and then there's a separate time period for the board review, and that can vary in time length depending on if we're pushing up against a deadline.
Yeah. But so it'll be months of review?
I would hope not. Hmm. I would
That's
hope not.
That's painful, because they get sequestered.
I have been on ones that have lasted that long, but hopefully this one doesn't last that long.
On the market survey, we noticed that the Willamette Valley trout were lumped in with rogue trout. Is that the intent for the contract when it's executed, is to have those trout all lumped?
I think so. So we're looking at that because as we get questions as to, well, how come trout production doesn't matter where they're not native or they're not natural, so you could produce them anywhere. So that's what we're looking at, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions on those contracts? All right, let's move on to the MOCs, with the first one being Mackenzie. If we want to talk about the sorter, so we had an internal meeting yesterday where I took the information that Bruce had sent regarding cost, but also the justification for it. It sounds like the plan is to move forward with you guys building that sorter, and then we will pay the usage fee through the contract. And as near as I can tell right now, there does appear to be understanding within the Corps that we need it for keeping hatchery fish from getting upstream and then also collection of broodstock. And since the canal is not likely to return to service in the near future, this is a longer term interim solution.
So how would that work in terms of first, thanks. That's awesome. building is one piece of it, and then operation longer term. So how do you see those two pieces being? So the building, I think we're all on the same page with, for the first year, we would build and operate with a monthly payback or a monthly invoice process through the contract. How do you see that for, say, next year?
So I would anticipate for out years, there's a cost associated with it.
With operation,
and,
right?
Yeah, and so then that would be the usage fee for out years, and it would be a contract modification. So,
okay,
it would be a contract modification for Mackenzie Hatchery.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll request. So I already have some idea of pricing from Bruce, but I think we'll request a proposal. So we'll have to request for you guys to have a change in how you operate for Mackenzie, and then we'll have discussions with contracting and ODFW just to make sure that everyone's comfortable with the final costs as they come out.
Okay.
Cost and scope for the modification.
What did you and Bruce and Lance talk about the, you know, we'd be, you know, setting out our screenshots and a number of other people to build this thing and, you know, taking away from many other things. But I guess the one thing that we were wanting to make sure of is that there was some kind of assurance that, yeah, this is going to happen and that we are not building this for nothing.
Yes, I understand your desire for assurance. Yeah. I can't commit to anything until it's in a contract, but what I can tell you is it has been vetted. I have another meeting on Monday to talk about all the issues in the valley again with upper management. Right as of the meeting yesterday, I didn't hear anything negative come. There were some questions, but sure, nothing that said, no, we shouldn't be doing this. Okay. So I don't anticipate us not going forward with this plan.
That'll be an interesting call by Bruce then.
And I tried to explain that to him as well as, you know, sure, I can't say for sure that, yeah, I just can't.
Here's the check.
But once it's in the contract, then you do have the commitment there that we will be paying you for the operation and maintenance of it.
The proposal, are there specific people that we would be working with to, so that we had all of our proposal pieces together and in a timely fashion, because that, to us, it's that's kind of critical in terms of getting.
So Chris would be your first point of contact on a lot of that. And we have Monday meetings with our contracting team, not next Monday, but the following Monday. We will make sure that they're aware that this will be coming. And so then I guess the question is, how much time do you need to get this mod approved through ODFW? And then we'll find out. They'll probably need at least a month, but our side will need at least a month. But how long do you need so that we can back up that timeline?
What do you think?
So how long to process the modification?
Right.
Yeah.
To get it reviewed and...
Given that we've got a number of folks missing from our contract shop, probably a month.
Okay.
That'd be safe to plan on.
And this goes in June, so we want...
Well, what I thought I understood... So it seemed like there was two options. One was to do a contract mod for the core to include the cost of construction and operation, and then the second was, I thought what you and Bruce had talked about was a different proposal that would be sort of a monthly payment plan. So
yeah, so I don't think you want to go with the option of us paying for the construction of it, because then it has to go through our contracting with proposals, and then it's ours, and we don't necessarily want to own a bunch of extra equipment. So the most appropriate way of doing this would be that you guys have built this and then you charge us rent or a usage fee or whatever the contracting terminology is.
Okay.
And that would be, it may not end up being monthly, it may end up being the period of time that it's in place.
Right.
And then whatever that cost is.
Okay. Vehicle would be a contract modification.
Right.
For payment. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know what the total is because you had it in front of you, but squishing that together during the months of operation, yikes, which actually bumps up the monthly fees quite a bit, that's okay with your shop?
And that may be where the contract negotiations come in. Does it have to be over that 4-month period or however many months, or can we spread it out a little bit further? We'll have to talk with them.
Okay.
See what they prefer.
For us, it only has to be within our biennium because that's what we get our funds for. So we're probably a lot more flexible than you guys are.
Your biennium ends in 21, right?
June.
Yeah, June of 21.
Okay.
Yep. The end of June, yeah.
Okay.
So it's yeah, it'll be more or less up to you guys how you want to see the funds come in and what your modifications might need to be.
So I gotta say, this is great, great news. So good job on that. I hope it ends up going through, but what I'm hearing is a tentative yes. So thank you, Tammy and Chris and others working on this. Because literally these discussions on some kind of longer term sorter, I mean, this is broodstock collection as well, but we've been talking about this since the 2000 biop. So it's been 20 years. And just to have, you know, something go in place and to be built to, that gives us flexibility to for PIAS, that is great. So thank you very much for that, and we'll be optimistic it'll go through. So yeah. Jeff, your design and all of that better work good.
No pressure.
Make sure it works good.
Damn it.
So yeah, thanks for innovative thinking on that as well, Jeff.
Yeah.
Easy. It's actually old technology when you look at it. Pierce Falls has been operating this way for 40 years.
Yeah.
More than 40 years.
All right, anything else on that or the McKenzie water supply? Issues, McKenzie water issues.
Sounds like a bunch of work in the works.
Yes. All right. Chris, you want to go through the...
Yeah, so the next memorandum is in regards to the interim risk reduction measures at Hills Creek and Lookout Point Dam. This was discussed last month. It's still on the agenda, obviously. I didn't receive any comments, but I wanted to give Jess and folks at the Corps a chance to give any updates if there are any.
Yeah, hi, this is Jess Jones. So this project that we sent out to you guys is slightly different. This one is going to be in just the Hills Creek Dam, and it is going to be a restriction to the refill of the pool. So it's going to be starting pretty soon here, and we're going to be doing this project under a categorical exclusion. It's a going to be done for project purposes, routine operation and maintenance actions. I believe we have Ross Heiner as well on the phone. He's the PM with this project, and Ida, who's a fish biologist working with us here. So I'm going to let Ross take over if he's on and explain a little bit more about the project.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So I'm Ross Heiner, Dam Safety Program Manager for the district. And I guess we talked about this last meeting in the context of the summer conservation target elevations and the summer conservation pool restriction on an interim basis, lowering those conservation levels by 5 feet at Lookout Point and Hills Creek by 10 feet. So this IRM interim risk reduction measure is going to be implemented at Hills Creek Dam in conjunction with that summer pool restriction. And the rationale is different than what we discussed last time, and so that's why it's being handled, you know, as a separate action. So in the over last winter and spring, part of the spillway chute, there's a concrete portion of the spillway downstream of the gates where the water exits the channel. It's excavated into rock, and part of the rock wall above the concrete portion came loose, and we have a pile of pretty large rock debris in the spillway. And so what this IRM does is reduce the rate of fill for the project, for the reservoir, to match the pool restriction elevation at the same date that we normally would meet our maximum conservation pool elevation. So there's a figure included in the memorandum. It's So there's two dashed lines included. There's a red a horizontal line that is the summer pool restriction, and then there's a green dashed line that, that modifies the slope of our the second half of the refill. So this so the refill rate is fairly steep this time of year between February, or it's basically the month of February, it's pretty steep. We're not changing that, but we are changing kind of the maximum refill rate from March 1st to meet the new or the interim summer pool elevation on the same date. We normally would meet our maximum summer pool on 15 May. And the rationale behind that is to reduce our probability of having to use the spillway in a late season inflow event of similar magnitude to what we had last April. And so last April we got pretty close to having to use the spillway, and so what this does in conjunction with the summer conservation pool restriction is give us a little bit more flood control space late in the year while still meeting that summer conservation target elevation.
Any questions from folks? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
The next one is the Coast Fork Little Fall Creek. So in my conversation with Bruce, it sounds like you guys are going to cover this one this year with the anticipation that by next year the Corps will have figured out what we're going to do. And it was brought up yesterday at our internal meeting, and I had sent a message to Bruce. I have another meeting on Monday. There may be more questions, so I will be likely asking for more information from you guys, just so that, because once we make the contract modification, it's no longer ODFW's action, it's a federal action. We are directing you to do it, and I want to make sure everyone is clear and understands why the Corps would support this action. So.
Just FYI, the fish were scheduled for February to go in there, and when we saw the writing on the wall that, you know, there were going to be no decisions made through the Corps before that time, we made that switch with Leeburg. That wasn't the preferred option, obviously, because the Leeburg fish are only one ridge over from Little Fall Creek, and it, we thought that the return rate, the homing and all that would be much better for fish released out of Willamette Hatchery into Little Fall Creek rather than from McKenzie. But that being said, we also were very interested in not waiting another year to evaluate that fish ladder. So
I think what we'll do is we'll keep this MOC on here and update it as we get more information, because I don't want the Corps to say, okay, well, now we don't have to wait until next. We don't have to make a decision until next year.
It'd be great to have it.
Continue working through that.
We'll build right in. There are some other thoughts on board as to which stocks to use and a few other things like that to make sure that it is the best we can do for the basin as a whole for those releases. So.
And Fitterwig is canceled for March, but I believe Fenton has reached out to get at least some of this on the agenda, correct? Okay.
He did.
Great. All right, so that one we'll just on to. All right, and then.
Hey, Tammy, this is Mike Hudson. I have a quick question.
Sure.
The previous, on the interim risk reduction measures and the new action having to do with Hills Creek, was there information sent out on that? Is that previous?
Yeah, so that's new info in regards to refill. I need to add, it's actually already added. I just need to send it out with the new information to the old MOC that was already sent out. So you'll be getting an email from me probably today.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
All right, the next MSC is the trout release schedule. So had a good conversation with Bruce and Lance about this one, and then also talked about it yesterday. So it looks like, I know February is over and done with, but moving forward, it looks like we are comfortable moving forward with you guys as well with the schedules that you've requested.
Okay, the original schedule. There were some releases that weren't made in February. Right. Any thoughts on what to do about that?
We need to figure out where to put those fish and when.
Okay.
So it's the original schedule, but figuring out where we missed in February.
And weren't there some that got additional fish also during February?
Right.
Like Cottage Grove got an extra 3,000 fish or something, rather than those fish going to like Row River and some other places.
So it'll revert. It'll revert to kind of the original schedule, but we still need to figure out where to put these fish because we missed these releases.
Right.
So it's taken basically what you did from here on out, but since we missed those releases, where do we feel, or you guys feel those fit best in your scheme of things?
There may be, and we might just forego some of them just because, it just doesn't make sense to put that number of fish in. But at the same time, we'll try and even up the books.
Okay.
Best we can.
So when you get that final schedule, we'll include it as the final action in this MOC for documentation.
So, starting March 1, it'll be back to the original schedule. And then, for the table. So do you want to have a further discussion about the table? Do you guys want to go ahead and submit that table 10.1? How do you want to handle that?
For the HGMP?
Yes, right.
That's a good question. I don't know what that process looks like in terms of formally changing the HGMP. I know we were kind of, scrambling a little bit, and I don't know if you've maybe done this before in terms of editing these things.
Yeah, typically if there are changes that the co-managers want to make, so we receive those, include them in the HGMP, and then that latest draft is kind of what we're managing under. So if that's the way you want to handle any changes, let's do that and make sure that HGMP goes back to all of you, so you know what the latest is. But if it's a relatively minor change, something like that doesn't drastically increase effects or anything like that, then just update the HGMP and that latest draft is what we're managing under, kind of thing.
So we would send you the table. You would take out the old table, put in the new table, and then send the HGMP back out with an updated date on it. So everybody's like, okay, this is the new date and this is the document.
Yep.
Okay.
If that's what you guys want to do.
So
I would prefer to do that so we have one living document instead of a document with many addendums, which might be what happened over the years. So if you guys are okay with that.
Yeah, and I think that we would probably want to do that through an MOC for our paper trail purposes, our admin record documentation. I mean, we'll have the HGMP in there as well, but the MOC helps us explain why those changes were proposed.
Will it be separate or will it be the same one?
Because you have it in this MOC, right?
Yeah.
Where both of those things are in there.
Okay. If it works for Lance, this one is fine.
Okay. So the tricky part.
Right. So March 1 may be a bit optimistic for an updated schedule because we have to do a contract modification for that. And that takes at least a week. And next week, our contracting team is up at Priest Rapids. So we would hope for mid to late March at the earliest.
For actual change in deliveries.
Yeah, because we have to get that schedule. Because that schedule is a contract modification, the contractor can't do anything different until they have that modification.
Okay, so the Jeff has a different issue, but the issue that presents for me and him is updating the online schedule for ODFW. And so it would help me to know kind of when, on what day, we are reverting to ODFW's original schedule. I know you don't know that yet, but when you do know it, and then I can go in and make those changes to the online schedule.
Yes, we can absolutely do that.
And then, Jeff, you had some event or something happening in mid-March that you needed that delivery
for? Yeah,
there's
a bunch of stuff going on. I guess I'm a little confused on how all this is going to transpire. Help me out with understanding the way the contract went through. Then that oddball schedule that you guys put together is actually the one that you signed the contract with Desert Springs with.
Correct.
So we had to give them a schedule, and that's the schedule that went through. We can modify it. It means it takes our contracting specialists time. And right now their priority is Priest Rapids in the short term. But that doesn't mean that they can't. I mean, we'll talk to them and see how quickly they think they can do this. I just don't want you to expect it to happen in 5 days.
So the tricky part is we're mid-season now. And so we're trying to create this schedule on the fly and trying to get this contract modded
and placed. Further out we go, the more switches we're going to have to make later,
so
because
it's
the contract numbers are
multiple moving parts at the same time.
Right.
Trying to get people to move on in action.
I get it, yeah.
So that's going to be my life, I guess.
That's messy.
What else were you going to do?
I don't know. With your guys' help.
Yeah, we'll anything you want us to do to help your process, let us know.
So let's talk to Pat and Anjanae tomorrow and get a feel for what they think a reasonable timeline is, and then we'll do our best to hold them to that. But then at least that gives you guys something to say, okay, so we need to adjust 2 or 2.5 weeks of March or 3 weeks or the whole month of March.
Let me ask you this. And this might be a wild card, but it's, to me, this is the way my brain works. What if you had something where you could say, what if you could say to your contracting people, okay, we're going to switch this schedule for this schedule beginning whatever date you have, March 1, it is. And then we're going to have, but we need this other number, and it's going to be this group of fish, that pounds of fish, that are to be determined, but they will be within the HGMP, and you just have that as a line item in there that we, as in Chris and me, work together to allocate those fish at appropriate times later in the year. And that way we don't have to put those individual dates down that we have no idea what they're gonna be right now, and we won't have any idea if we don't have a start date somewhere along the line.
So we can certainly let contracting know that there'll be a change coming when you know when those changes are coming, but we can't hold our contractor to those deliveries unless it's in writing. So we'd still have to do a contract modification with an updated schedule when you know where you want to put those fish.
You can't have something that says there'll be X number of deliveries to these same some of these same water bodies, and as long as Desert Springs says, sure, fine. That wouldn't work?
No, because we have to, so for our quality assurance, we need to ensure that they are delivering as we instructed them to. And if we don't have that spelled out specifically, we can't hold them to it because they don't know what they're being held to either.
Sure. Another option would be just pick on a date on the calendar far enough out that you can project that contracting and everybody's on board, so you go April 1 or May 1. I say, okay, May 1, everything's done, so make the contract May through whatever, and then fix all the stuff from February through May, or through
March.
In that case, wouldn't that mean that there's fish that aren't getting delivered to a bunch of ponds that we want them to deliver
to? Absolutely.
You
trashed our entire spring releases at that point.
Me? Really? But what's the alternative?
Right.
I mean, the alternative is you play the game and you go week by week trying to balance something. But
well, let let's allow Chris and I to talk to them tomorrow to get a feel for their workload and what they think a reasonable time would be. And then we can share that date with you. And then if we can get a schedule that's adjusted from that date onward, that hopefully would work.
Yeah. Okay. The sooner we can get a...
So there'll be a tight turnaround between the time you guys talk to contracting and you need a schedule from us to submit to them for a contract modification, including the changes balancing out the schedule. Is that right?
The closer that date is, the tighter it's going to be. So, like, if we push, I mean, for example, in the next week, it's going to be insane.
They will absolutely not be in the office on Monday.
I'm kind of thinking Tuesday, March 15th is kind of what I'm hoping would be the earliest date that I would expect a contract mod would come out of the core. But you think, like, that's kind of pushing it. Okay.
We can, I mean, we can ask. If you're, I was thinking you might want, like, March 10th.
Oh, yeah. I'll take anything.
That might be a bit more of a struggle. But if we can, we will ask them what they think the soonest is. But if it can be around, like, the 10th to the 15th, if that seems like it will work all right for you guys. Okay.
And there has been discussion with contracting. They're starting to realize that a lot of times these changes do occur throughout the year, and thinking about their workload and thinking about how to implement these things, there may be language that we can put in the contract to make it somewhat more flexible to where we can still hold the contractor accountable, but still be able to make these in-stream changes in a timely manner.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened, but...
They're thinking about it because they would like to make this an easier process for them as well.
I'm sure they're starting to wonder what they got themselves into.
Yes. Yes, they have.
So, sorry, let me just clarify. For the HGMP table, you guys have the MOC. And then is this what you would send to NIMS? Or do you send, like, a cover letter in this to NIMS? Or how does this work? And how does it kind of work as the other thing I kind of want to... I mean, we all agree, right? Okay, yes, we want this table in there, but that doesn't necessarily come from both agencies, right? Unless both agencies sign a letter or something saying we want this change, but that might be a little crazy, so.
Well, so there's a letter from NIMS to you guys already saying, what I wondered kind of along the same lines, do we need something similar with our name on that letter?
And our Office of Counsel would probably prefer that since it's changes to our contract. And so making sure that we have coverage.
And next question, knowing that there's, you know, no net impact with these changes, but also knowing you have to talk to the services, how does Fish and Wildlife play into this?
They don't, because they don't oversee these fish, right?
Well, I just figured, I don't know, I mean, there's no bull trout where we're putting these fish. Yeah. But I didn't know if there was a nexus at all because of that.
So Mike did get the MOC. So Mike, if you have any concerns with this, please definitely send your comments to Chris, but that is typically how we would make sure everyone has received the information and has the opportunity to comment.
Okay.
And then if there is significant disagreement, which we don't seem to have right now, then we would sit down and have conversations, okay. I think.
In the past, typically where we've coordinated with Fish and Wildlife Service was when there was changes like in the upper Mackenzie.
Okay.
Yeah, and there was no changes for the Mackenzie that we saw. They were all in other areas, so.
Right. Okay.
Do you want a formal
cover? Whatever works for you guys. So I'm easy on my side of things, whatever will work. So whatever you need to document those things.
So then maybe just the final action on this MOC is that we request a letter of concurrence from NOAA Fisheries.
Okay. And then I don't know if that answers your question on your end.
I just kind of wanted to understand what process you guys were going to go through, so I kind of have an idea of what to keep an eye out for. Right.
So this is what we'll try this time, but this is a totally new process for us, having HGMPs and doing modifications on them.
So okay.
It may not be the same next time, but we'll try it this time and see if Office of Counsel's all right with that.
Okay.
We can also attach a letter that ODFW received to this MSC, so it'll be kind of a lengthy document, but at least all the information will be in one place.
And the letter that we sent was, you had a secondary table, which is actually the table that's in the MLC now.
Mm-hmm.
The first go-round that we had was somewhat different than that, and that was the letter of concurrence that we got from you, which, I mean, it's kind of one and the same, but it actually doesn't have the same numbers in the table.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm...
Yeah, so the table that is in the MLC, this is not actually the table I would want in 10.1. The table I sent out is the one I want, only because this has an additional column that isn't needed, right?
Okay, and right. So, oh, I see what you're saying.
So for that table, we would want to just, here are the pounds, here's the water bodies,
so
which is very straightforward.
Maybe we, okay, formally put what we actually want to see somewhere.
Yes, exactly,
okay.
Right. What the actual table that we want in the HJMP,
The thing I was thinking about was we can take the original request for concurrence, modify that, send it to you guys send it out and under your thing, because we're good with it, and but have the correct table in that.
Mm.
And then, you know, we can draft a letter for you if you need that, because it's already drafted and we've got the table, you've already got that. We'll send that to you or Chris and then you carry that forward. Would that work?
The HGMP is under both of us, right? So I think
Correct. If
we just have a very similar letter as what you guys have, so that both of them go forward, so that it's still ODFW
okay.
And...
You
forward.
Have a process that you...
Just because both our names are on the HGMP, so it makes sense that we should have agreement.
We will, and how about this then for procedure? We will go ahead and do that, and send in a new letter of concurrence to you, and we will copy you guys on it, and you can make use of it however you like.
Okay.
Wait, we're not sending the letter directly to the Corps, we're sending, that we're CCing them on it, but we're sending the letter to Lance? Okay.
Correct.
And then you guys would send in your own letter.
Yes.
Okay.
That
way
we have concurrence, they have concurrence.
Yeah.
So we have the table and we have the request.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And everybody has the same information. Which
yeah.
is really
it's
cool.
important, yes. That would be ideal.
And if you're following up with your counsel and want me to talk with them on any of the ESA side of things, let me know. I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay.
Because the reality is if we issue a concurrence back to ODFW or the Corps approving those things, it's good for everybody involved with the consultation on the ground. But I know that doesn't work for you guys, but essentially that's...
We don't like to share that concurrence. We want our own.
Everybody wants their own.
No. I mean, and as we get more comfortable with this process, that will probably be just fine in the future. But for now, I'm trying to make it very
And I just, sorry, I want to make sure that the letter of concurrence is not the only thing that's going to come from you guys. That actually a new, you'll print out a new HGMP or have a new PDF that has the new table in it. Awesome.
That's what you guys want
to
do.
Yes. Okay. So should we ask for that in our letter?
Sure.
Okay.
You can ask for whatever you want.
Okay.
Easy ones.
It's like Christmas
I'm
over
easy.
Here.
Hey, I heard about Lieberg. You know, what do you want from me? I'll get it to you tonight.
Oh, thanks.
All right. Anything else on that? Okay, we can move on to the WFOP. So we do have one item on there, and that's the fish facility inspections and reporting. And really, I just wanted to use this agenda item to make sure people are aware in the WFOP. In section 7 for each sub-basin is the inspections, reporting, and notifications. And it's fairly detailed. And I have the North Santa Am one pulled here. If Dustin's still on the phone, I know that he had some concerns about the things that are in there, and so there may be some changes coming as we talk to the Valley a little bit more. For everyone's awareness, Minto and Foster are now under the Valley's hand receipt, so they own them and they're responsible for maintenance of them. It doesn't change anything in the contract right now, but there may potentially be some changes in the future. They'll be incorporated into their normal maintenance and how the project does business. But there's some reports in here that I don't know that we have actually been doing, which would somewhat put us in violation of the BIOP. I don't know that we necessarily want to do that. So there's monthly reports regarding the facility inspections. And I think now under the contract, there are facility inspections occurring at Minto and Boster. Is that correct, Ryan?
Yes, we work with Bob to develop the daily operational checklists.
And so I think those will help meet these criteria, but Doug and Chad, are you guys doing the facility inspections as per the WFOP for Cougar and Fall Creek?
Nothing formally, Tammy, no.
Okay.
No, we just assure routine operations, but as far as specifics, I'm not aware.
Let me take a little different take on this, is that we have preventative maintenance, which includes inspections, defined in our maintenance management system for Cougar and for Fall Creek. Well, I say for Cougar, we're still waiting for some O&M completion at Fall Creek. But those things are integrated into our standing maintenance management system, which also documents, there's documentation there, in terms of how many hours we spend on project. We have the same for Foster and Minto. We have preventative maintenance and other inspections that are included in FEM. I think we need to do a little bit better job of understanding what the maintenance issues that are affecting the facility are and make sure that's included into FEM as well, which, again, based on a bit of my outside understanding here, is something that would meet the intent, which is to create the administrative record of not only what we're doing to maintain the facilities, but also decisions we make in terms of priorities and work execution.
And certainly maintenance is part of what these reports include, but they're also supposed to include like outplanted numbers for the ones that have hatcheries associated with them, general hatchery operations, the adult outplanting data documenting release locations, number release, water temperatures, all of that sort of stuff, and then any mortality that may have occurred, and then some specifics to get off of those carcasses for the reporting. So it's partly the maintenance side of things, but then there's also some fish specific items that.
Tammy, I think the fish stuff we're already doing through the monthly adult reports.
Okay.
Yeah, and I want to add, Andrew Traylor used to disseminate that information. Chad and I both would send it to him, then he would disseminate it to the group. So as far as outplant numbers, we're not on the spawning grounds, Chad and I, so we can't give you information about pre-spawn mortality once the fish are in the upper systems. But we've been disseminating the actual numbers and locations. We've been doing that for many years.
So then perhaps all that's needed is, if these inspections are occurring, is a way to get the reporting in a consolidated format and then post it to the website so everyone has that information. So that would be...
Where would it be under your WFOM document thing? What would the title be?
Somewhere over to the left, maybe? Are there reports in there your website?
Go to the...
Fish
count? The counts? Yeah, I got the counts over here.
That's
where the monthly reports would be.
Oh, okay.
And I've been posting those. The ones that I've posted as of late were reports that came from you guys.
Okay. That was just...
Not received the ones for Cougar and Fall Creek, but Andy might have... It may have been going to Andy since we did the reorganization between us.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, so... Doug and Chad, if you can send your reports to Chris, then he will take those. Andy doesn't work on the Valley projects anymore. I have him down in the Rogue and then doing John Day mitigation. So Chris is your point of contact for reporting. And then you can get those sent out and posted. Okay.
Oh, that works for me. I can send mine out immediately after this meeting.
All right.
Sounds good.
Just want to make sure that we are meeting. That should be a relatively easy criteria to meet, so make sure we do that. All right, do you have anything else on the WFOP, Chris? Did we get any change forms?
We did not.
Not a single one?
No, we did so well last year that...
We should have a party to celebrate that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's definitely updates that could occur. One being specifically laying out the Cougar operation we do with the RO, but we tend to just do that on an annual basis, it seems, so that it works. But if we think we can lock that down, we can...
Sure.
Things like that. But it's already in there in a generic form so that we can move ahead with the operation and not have to coordinate.
So one thing with the WFOP, just for the rest of the region, is this is kind of your contract with the Corps and what you can hold us to for making sure that we do everything that we said we were going to do. Mm. And so when you have, so everyone should review it and make sure it reflects reality, but also reflects what we believe is the best operation that we can do in the Valley.
I skimmed through one of them a month or two ago just to make sure that there wasn't any crossways with the new hatchery biop stuff, and I didn't see anything, but a lot of it was because it was kind of a higher level of, it was more general, but if there was something in there that you wanted to include, we could go through there and look at that. But it seemed like it was sufficient for me.
Okay.
It seems we notice when something kind of deviates from our normal operations.
All right, and then we have task group updates, which is SWIFT. Rachel, do you have an update on that? She might have already left. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up, talk about, have on the agenda for next month? No? All right. Well, with that, we are at the end of our meeting. Thank you, everyone, for calling in and attending in person. We did almost take the 2 hours. Nice. But I think we've accomplished.